The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything that you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. I've been so pumped to take a couple of friends with our road bikes to some of the trails nearby, and now I can bring the entire crew, my dog, and all of our gear with that third row. Learn more about the new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. On this episode of the Heat Check, the second round is here, baby. God damn, do we have a lot of drama to get into. We got our 4 second round series, and we got to catch you up on what's popping, folks, around the league. Let's not waste any time, Anthony. Drop that motherfucking beat. This should be Rihanna. Oh, yes. It's the most magical time of the year at the NBA playoffs. Oh, yes. March, April, May, 3 best months probably in the year. We got March Madness. We got playoffs. We got the Masters. We got playoffs. We got playoffs. June's pretty damn good, too. But that's only 2 weeks, and they got fucking NBA draft. Anyway, we're off on a tangent. So we touched on this a little bit yesterday. But we must. I would be remiss. I would be out of pocket. I would be out my damn mind if I didn't give Donovan Mitchell his flowers. They say the playoffs are like a mirror into the soul. They reveal who you really are as a player. If you're that guy in crunch time, in winning time, in the playoffs, you're that guy. It's a place where reputations go to kaput. Conversely, it's where reputations are made. Jamal Murray has become a clutch time legend. Because that's what he does in the playoffs. Snatches souls. Not this year, not last year, all the way back to the fucking bubble. And before you say anything, let's not act like Jamal Murray is right now. So the fact that he's getting belt to ass, as Patrick Beverly would say, is not indicative of who he is as a man or as a player. So stop that. Anyway, sometimes a player's rep will take a beating for years before it gets resurrected, aka Rudy Gobert. Believe it or not, there was a time when people questioned Nikola Jokic's clutch gene. That has obviously been put to rest. And once and for all, by hoisting the Larry O'Brien Finals MVP, multiple 30-point games in a row, etc., etc. Likewise, people, including myself, were all the way out on Donovan Mitchell. Remember, when he goes cold, he goes ice cold, which isn't really wrong. He's just not doing that nearly as much. Back in the Utah days when 60-win teams would flame out when the lights would be bright and we didn't know if it was Rudy, we didn't know if it was Donovan. It was like the reverse of Tom Brady and Belichick. Like, who is responsible for why this team fucking sucks? Is it Rudy? Is it Donovan? I think it's actually neither. Maybe it's Quinn Snyder. Anyway, a lot of people began to believe that he was a regular season pro and a playoff schmo that would turn into warm liquid goo in prime time. That's just a nasty thought. Just like a nasty visual, honestly. Turns out, Donovan had an answer for the critics in that little 7-game war that shouldn't have been a 7-game war with Orlando, but it is what it is. Of course, some of the intense flack was, you know, his own fault. He literally disappeared in games 3 and 4 in 2 30-point losses to the Magic on the road. Those questions went from whispers to louder conversations to roars. Holy shit, where's Donovan? Hey, Donovan's not clutch. Donovan's not clutch. Donovan's not clutch. And like, where are we on it now? I think we're getting there. Fast forward to game 6 and 7, and you have the Cavs team fighting for its life against a physical, athletic Orlando Magic team. Too young to know they should not be there. Too young to know they shouldn't be messing around and winning a playoff series until at least a year away from a year away. When Jared Allen went down with a rib injury, it was like, oh yeah, it's a wrap for you, Cleveland. I'll see you next year. And then Donovan Mitchell, will probably see him in another uniform. Enter Donovan Mitchell. He said, I am not ready for a trade request just yet. The dude went nuclear on the Magic at a time when, let's be real, Darius Garland turned to, what did I call it? Goo? Liquid, warm liquid goo. That's what Darius Garland is. Darius Garland is actually like regular warm liquid goo sometimes. Let's be real. Darius Garland on a milk carton. Literally, no one else was willing to take the mantle and step up. And Donovan Mitchell, on one leg, put the entire roster on his back, onto his shoulders, and he was a fucking electric. Look at it this way. How good was he? In game 6 and 7 against Orlando, Donovan Mitchell scored a total of 89 points. 50 and 39, which was 9 points more than the rest of his entire team scored in 2 games. He literally outscored the rest of the Cavs roster 89-80. How good of a performance was this? In the history of the NBA, only one player has scored more points in game 6 and 7 of any playoff series, and that was not Michael Jordan, AI, who had 90. God damn it, Donovan. You should have just got me that fucking 40 points in game 7 like it was written. That's how good Donovan Mitchell was, by the way. He was 33 for 63, and those 89 points came from only 5 threes. 5 for 17 from Trey. In other words, he was slashing and bashing, getting into the paint and telling you, it's time for Donovan. Driving, getting hammered. Pause. The crazy thing was how he managed to score differently in both games. 50 points, electric in the mid-range. In that game, he only hit 3 threes and only had 3 free throws. Ridiculous. That's ridiculous. In his closeout, 39-point performance, my man Donovan Mitchell did his very best to be primetime James Harden MVP, going to the line 17 times and hitting 15 free throws. By the way, Donovan, you could have had more than AI if you would have hit them all. The best stat from Game 7, though. My man Donovan Mitchell had only 1 turnover in 41 and a half minutes. He was blitzed by Jalen Suggs, by Gary Harris, Gary Harris, yeah, Markelle Fultz, Cole Anthony, all of them. They were just coming in waves. He had zero rest, and yet in the second half, when no one else could do a goddamn thing, it was Donovan, repeatedly going to the line, hitting his free throws. You can say a lot of things about Donovan Mitchell. You can even question whether he's the best player on a championship team. But you can never say, as a Cleveland Cavalier, he's never showed up when it mattered. Utah Jazz, debatable. Cleveland Cavaliers, new era. He got, not after he single-handedly saved the Cavs season and saved his time and tenure as a Cleveland Cavalier. So now Cleveland takes on Boston, who's got a ton of rest. I mean, they've just like killed the Miami Heat. A very easy, breezy gentleman sweep of Miami. But they will now play this series without Kristaps Porzingis against Evan Mobley, who's a big-time shot blocker, big-time rebounder. And listen, like a real-deal rim protector. KP opened up this offense up in many ways that never functioned before. And if Jared Allen could possibly play, his ribs are in rough shape, so we don't know. But apparently he should be ready for by game 2. The Cavs are big down low in a way that Boston may have trouble handling. There's a reason, obviously, the Celtics are heavy favorites. But there's enough intrigue in this series that maybe if things got interesting, I probably would be shocked, let's be honest. But, like, could they get a game? If Miami, the zombie Heat, can get a game, then, God, Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and a bunch of random role players like Bang Bang Niang, they could get a game. And with playoff Donovan in the house, who the fuck knows?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, we move on. Yesterday, we also briefly touched on the Wolves and Nuggets series. It was electric. Minnesota gets a win on the road. They get a squeak win, pull out in the fourth quarter, pause, and find a way to beat the Nuggets when that is their thing. They took their thing away from Denver. And it was the Ant Edwards show. It was Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, Jamal Crawford, and they all said it on the national broadcast. Whole lot of non-Minnesota fans just getting their first real introduction to Ant Edwards. And the truth is, Ant Edwards just became the face of the league in one game. He was electric. 43 points, 17 for 29 shooting, 3 for 7 from 3, 6 for 6 from the charity stripe, bunch of boards, 3 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. Obviously, those are the headlines, but was lost in the box scores that he played over 42 minutes. And he, unlike Karl-Anthony Towns, committed just one foul. Only had one turnover. Even though Denver blitzed him the entire second half. That's pretty fucking incredible. But guess what? It's going to get even worse for Denver. Honestly. This is a series that's going to be fascinating. Both teams are going to try to adjust. One thing that we know about Michael Malone is that he has tricks in his bag. But guess what? I don't know if it's going to be enough for Michael Malone. The truth is, game two, belt to ass. Seriously, you look at this Wolves team and what they were able to do. Every single player that got playing time either had a steal or a block or multiple steals or multiple blocks. 106-80? Are you joking me? Seriously, Michael Malone knows. He knows. They were talking about it after the game. He said this, too many discipline breakdowns. You can't go under Mike Conley on screens. There's a reason Mike Conley kicks our ass every time we play him. You go under Mike Conley screens, it's going to be a dribble left three, and we just did that too often. Also, another key issue is that where are the others at? Where are the others? Who are the others? Honestly, like, we got Christian Brown, we got Peyton Watson, and we got, who the fuck else? Reggie Jackson? That's just not enough. We're going to need more than 7 points combined from those fools. Over in the Minnesota locker room, it's just a straight war zone. The team's ready for battle. Although he's not going to get credit, because he rarely does, because everybody fucking hates his gut. The unsung hero was Rudy Gobert. Rudy, oh, bonjour. He made life miserable for Jokic. Jokic couldn't pass the ball to Aaron Gordon, which he loves to do. Sending him lobs. Rudy was like, oh, I'll take that. Snatch, block, tip away, get the fuck out of here. Defending Jokic in the paint, just scratching him up, pushing him around, keeping him out on the perimeter. Jokic took like 15 threes in game one. What the fuck? When is the last time you saw that? When's the last time you saw Jokic have a negative 12 game plus minus? Rudy's stat line wasn't great. 6-13-3. That's not going to open many eyeballs. Nobody's going to say anything about that. One steal, 3 blocks were great. But listen, he made Jamal Murray and Jokic question everything that they were doing with their life, altering his shots in the paint. Murray was 6-14 on the night, and it's not getting better for Jamal Murray. I promise you that. Rudy played like the DPOY he is. But what he did was not try to be a ball hog or get involved on the offense. Rudy, we don't need you for all that. We got enough scoring. He didn't take any dumb shots. He had zero fouls in the first half. And that is a team that always tries to get into foul trouble because that's the only answer that they have for these Wolves. I am convinced. Rudy, anyway, seems to have found a place where he's well-liked, a place where he's embraced. And this shows. He said this, I've never been a part of a group that understands each other, that cares about each other, and wants to see each other shine. In this league, that's not something that you find very often. Case in point. So Rudy goes back, I think, to France. Do not quote me. Somewhere far away from Denver, and is there to be with his wife for the birth of their first child. A bunch of people were saying he was soft, a.k.a. Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas, shut up. But the team all had his back. Then they went out and literally beat the fuck out of the Nuggets. It was a 6.5-point line where the Nuggets were favored by almost 7 points. I think it actually went up to 7.5 right after Rudy Gobert was ruled out. And guess what? It didn't matter if you got a 6.5 or a 7.5. If you had the Timberwolves tonight, you are a winner-winner chicken dinner. It was never fucking close. It was an ass-cooking on all points. Minnesota built a 30-point lead at one point, led by 24 points after three quarters. Ant and Cat both had 27, but it was just the defense that was incredible. Every starter had three stocks, steals and blocks, stocks, three stocks or more. Except for Ant, who only had two. That's fucking insane. The role players had blocks and steals. Multiple. Monty Morris got involved on defense. What are we talking about? The Wolves had 11 steals and 12 blocks. I've never seen such a thing. We got to talk about how rare and special and absurd that is. I looked and saw their roster. Just checked up on it. 14 guys, 6'4 and above. Like 11 guys, 6'5 and above, 6'7. Everybody's a monster. This Wolves team is a fucking problem. I said this to my friend who is a lowly, sad, tortured Minnesota Timberwolves. And I said, here it is. This is the one. This is the year. What is your reward for Glenn Taylor snatching back the team and keeping it for himself and saying, not from out of my cold, dead hands, you get a title, Wolves fans. I think you can beat the shit out of the Boston Celtics, especially if it's just Porzingis and his torn up little calf. Is he right? Is he not? I don't even give a fuck. Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, and all that wing depth, and Ant, head of the snake. Oh, Tatum, you don't want none of that smoke. It's night-night, sleep mask. Nuggets are up 2-0, heading back to Minnesota. And if Denver can't take three, which I don't know what the answer is. You had it, number two. Game two without Rudy Gobert was your opportunity. And you couldn't get a thing done. Jamal Murray looked like ass. Jokic, ass. It was just like the Aaron Gordon show. And it's like, okay, well, when Rudy Gobert comes back, that's obviously just not going to happen. Anyway, it's a problem. Congratulations, Timberwolves fans. You have your moment. You are the contender. You are the top of the mountain. If you beat the Nuggets, all of this is yours and more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's move on. The other second round series should also be a blast. We got the Knicks and the Pacers out east. And while a lot of people are tabbing the Knicks to the Eastern Conference Finals, this could be a long series, or it could be the most competitive sweep we've seen since last year when the Lakers got swept to the Nuggets. The Sixers showed that the Knicks can over-rely on Brunson on the offensive end, and they lack a second option. But the problem is you got to stop Brunson. That's what you have to. I mean, in order for that second option to be in play, like, Brunson can't be coming over screens or rejecting screens and just hitting you in the mid-range for 40 every night. This is now Brunson's fourth consecutive 40-point game in the playoffs. The fifth game, 39 points. Man, the Knicks can fill it up with the best of them, and so can the Pacers. The Pacers defensively are just a sieve. I do not see an answer for Brunson. It is not happening. And if people want to say that Brunson doesn't feel some kind of way because of how Rick Carlisle treated him as like a just a low end, basically he treated him like a lower end Dante DiVincenzo when he was on the Mavs. He didn't get any damn run until Jason Kidd got there. If you don't think Jalen Brunson has a little extra oomph, put a little oomph in the tank because of Rick Carlisle, oh, I have something to tell you, baby. Whew. And then Dante from deep shooting corner threes. You got Josh Hart doing a little bit of everything. 24, 13, and 8 tonight? I don't know how the Pacers can stop the Knicks, but I also think at some point Halliburton's got to show up. Siakam at some point's got to show up. And Miles Turner, awesome matchup for him. He's going to be the key player for this Pacers team going forward. Maybe they can steal one or two games, or maybe competitively get swept. Game one was an absolute slugfest. Villanova crew came alive. I think this series is probably only going to go 5 games, but I think everyone's going to be close. And now, moving forward, we got to talk about Dallas OKC. I think people were kind of sleeping on this series. We all thought the Minnesota-Denver series was going to be the best one that we've ever seen. And guess what? It's been kind of a boring series. Maybe what we're going to get from the Mavs and the Thunder is something incredibly inverse. We expect nothing. We think it's going to be terrible. Both teams are kind of like under the radar. But I think this series has everything that you could hope for to be a 7-game war. You got two of the most creative around-the-room scorers in the last decade. You got Shea and Kyrie. They go head-to-head. You have rookie bigs going crazy underneath with Derek Lively and Chet Holmgren. You got underrated wings. Well, you got one underrated wing, Jalen Williams, and got a very underrated mediocre wing, and P.J. Washington. Like, let's not put Jalen Williams and P.J. Washington in the same category. I'm not doing that, so relax. And of course, you got the wildest of wild cards, Luka Doncic. What does he give you? Who knows? I mean, on a night-to-night basis, give you 50, or he can give you 27. I have no idea how bad Luka's injury is, and that's going to dictate how this series will go. Luka was banged up, did not play a great game against the Clippers at all, and he averaged 30. He averaged 34 in the regular season, so that was a tick down. Crazy. But more than that, he was struggling. He was laboring. Even if he was a huge factor in the Mavs winning, I think OKC's athletic defense is going to make life hell for him. You now have Lou Dort that's going to be picking him up before half court, called the Dortcher Chamber, and making it very hard for the Mavs to set up their offense in any fucking way. You might actually want Kyrie to bring the ball up, honestly. And for me, the X factor in this series for the Mavericks is going to be Daniel Gafford. What is he going to be? Is he going to get as much playing time as he did in certain points of last series? Or is he going to get benched? Simply put, in games where he has a plus net rating, the Mavs win. That's just what it is. The last 22 times Gafford has been a net positive, the Mavs won 21 times. So they're 21-1 when he has a net positive rating. So when Gafford is effective, the Mavs, very tough to beat. In the series, we're going to see that Chet versus Daniel Gafford matchup that we were all salivating for in November, right? Like, that's what we were all hoping for. Isn't it crazy, though, as a quick aside, that the Mavs picked up a Washington Wizard and a Charlotte Hornet, and they are now possibly in a spot to go to the Western Conference Finals? Who could have saw that? Not me. I thought this team was low-key, high-key, hot garbage. Anyway, by the way, the Mavericks announced a contract extension for J. Kidd. He said, a pair of 50-win seasons in the past 3 years. I thought his butt was warm. I really did. This season, he's done a great job of balancing a team that many people thought was underperforming halfway through the season, and now added in two new pieces and integrated them beautifully. Is he a championship caliber coach? I don't fucking know. How are they going to hang with a team like Minnesota or Denver? I don't know. But maybe he proves me wrong. Maybe he proves me wrong. Anyway, this series I think is going to be fun. Very excited for all the second round matchups. We got to move on, though, to a topic near and dear to my heart. And that is basking in the warmth, the immeasurable happiness of watching the Miami Heat flounder and spiral and eat themselves alive and turn on one another. All of that, love to see it. Love to see it. Like clockwork, heat season ended. Darth Vader has come out from the Death Star, and he has decided, take no prisoners. Shots fired at every single person. I said jokingly that all these players that he has on his team were catching strays, and someone in my comments said, made a brilliant point. None of those were strays. Those were direct shots that he pointed at them with his gun, with his opinion gun, and he fired directly at their head. And he did not miss one time. It is time for the annual greatest roast of the year, the Pat Riley roast, where he lights up his entire team. So the Heat were just horrible, obviously, in the playoffs 2 years in a row now. Well, they did go to the finals last year, but the regular season has been rough for two straight years, and this was a big disappointment, getting gentlemen swept by the Boston Celtics with no Jimmy Butler and no Jaime Jaquez. But what surprised everyone about this presser was that Pat Riley was not given zero fucks. We are going after star players this time. We're not going after how little talent we have because we consistently get guys that are undrafted and then we turn them into legit role players. No, we're not doing that. We're not going to talk about injuries. No, we're not going to talk about that. What we're going to do is talk about how Jimmy is not available and will not shut the fuck up. Riley said what he was asked about Jimmy Butler trolling the Celtics on Instagram. And with an absolute stoic face, dead serious, not joking, Riley said, I wasn't sure if Butler was trolling. And then he dropped this nuke.
You know, for him to say that, you know, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious? You know, if you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut. And your criticism of those teams.
The like staccato on that last line, shut. If you are not playing against Boston or the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut. Whoa, that was dead ass serious. Hey, Jimmy, shut up and stay in your street clothes. He was not done. He was asked about Butler's contract extension, and Jimmy said in recent weeks that he needs a max. Like Jimmy Butler believes he's going to get like a 4-year max contract. Oh, like contraire, mon frère. Oh. Riley was being Riley, right? This is the same guy that told LeBron to kick rocks. This is the same guy that pushed D-Wade out of the building. This is the same guy that said, we love you, Chris, but your heart ain't working no more, and you gots to go. He has no feelings. He has no soul. You are only as good to Riley as you are good producing on the court. And this is what he said. If Jimmy requests, we can either accept or we'll say, we'll think about it. That's a big decision on our part to commit to those kind of resources. Unless you're somebody who's going to be there every time. Yo. He just gave a direct shot right at Jimmy Butler's agents and right at Jimmy Butler. You want max money? Try showing up for 82 games. He then, by the way, Jimmy's only played 73% of his games as a Miami Heat, and Pat is very aware of that fact. That's literally like your boss 2 months into your year, your annual year, being like, hey, just want to let you know, we've noticed you've missed 22 days this year. And it's only February. That's what he did. He also went on to say that the 65-game rule, which everyone hates because it's too restrictive, encourages people to think it's okay to miss 17 games. That's how fucking insane he is. Then they asked, well, Jimmy, you're not going to max him out. Would you consider a trade for another star to add alongside him and Bam? Like, just to kind of see where you guys are at, would you include another star in this package like you tried to do for Dame? He says, oh, there's a lot of possibility of things on the table. It's not about getting another star. You get another star, your bench gets weaker. I'm not going to bring on something that's going to make us a little bit better at a higher cost of assets and money. He went on to say that there are only two or three players in the entire league worth going all in on. And that 6 of the 8 highest salary teams, by the way, those mofos, they're just with us doing exit interviews. Oh boy. Riley's like, listen, I'm balancing my checkbook. Jimmy, you are boxed into a corner, sir. You're probably going to be playing for the team like the Knicks. A team that will not actively add more talent. Things could get bad in Miami very fast. You want to know how mad Riley is? He also took shots at Tyler Hero, who, as we know, is his prodigal son. He literally believes that Tyler Hero is him in another life. Kentucky guard. Got a little attitude. Got a little grit to him. Pretty boy. He said, he said it so reluctantly. He's been fragile a little bit. But there isn't anyone who works harder at his game. Ooh. Tyler's played in 71% of his games in Miami. Less than Jimmy Butler. By the way, Pat, keep that same energy for Tyler Hero that you do for Jimmy. Honestly. Even former players are getting shots directly at their head. Udonis Haslem was like, hey, I think the Heat are better with Hero as a sixth man. And Riley was like, I think Tyler Hero is a starter. And Udonis Haslem, not with our organization as a player any longer. He should be keeping these thoughts to himself instead of getting on his cute little podcast. By the way, Tyler's been replaced as the golden boy by Jaime Jaquez, who Riley had only good things to say. He said if he hadn't have gotten hurt earlier this season, he would have played all 82 games. Oh, yeah. He loves himself some Jaime Jaquez. He's a proud young warrior. Oh, my God. He's a proud young warrior who will play every night for you. Oh, Tyler. Remember when Pat used to talk about you like this? Now it's Jaime. Jaime Jaquez is the guy that she tells you not to worry about, and then, all of a sudden, you have been traded to the Orlando Magic. Actually, a good fit. Hell, even Spoelstra was not spared the rod. Riley was like, listen, Spo needs to take a deep dive into his offense and his defense. One thing is for sure. No team is going to have a more fascinating offseason than the Miami Heat. I cannot wait. That's all the time for this episode of the Heat Check. Come back tomorrow for an all-new episode. We'll be breaking down some news of the week. Check out the feed for past episodes and mini episodes which drop unexpectedly, like that Tom Brady roast on Netflix. Best thing I've ever seen, man. They spared no punches. Oh, boy. Oh, you got to watch it if you didn't watch it. Don't forget to follow the Heat Check as we continue in the playoffs. That means download. That means subscribe. That means tell your friends. Even that bitch-ass friend of yours that told you they were going to finish the conclusion of your script, but they fucking didn't because they were bullshitting. And do not forget to follow us at this Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and IG. And at some point, YouTube.